Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Monday edition. The Tausch is in Vegas, baby, Vegas. Helping the Badger football program. Anybody get that Swingers reference, or is that too old now?
Edition.
The anytime the show sheet says, and I quote, congratulations to me. I know Jesse wrote it. Lot of self-congratulatory stuff going on with the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Awards Gala. So a lot of people showing off their hardware edition. And the Giannis posted a photo last night. Homer's response was, and your point is? I don't know what my point is. I just thought it was interesting. Edition. Oh, also the Craig Council's Cubs are in first place in the NL Central. Jesse's in a bad mood. I can hear it in his voice in his SportsCenter edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, which won a bunch of awards yesterday. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, well, in a minute. Twitter, not Facebook, I haven't got that fixed yet, or YouTube. And, of course, everything you need in the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios at the Avenue and the 3rd Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee. He sat down at 9:01. We've got him till 11:58. He's got a lot going on. He's a busy guy. You hear him every weekday on the Homer Hour, the best 60 minutes of your day, allegedly. You also hear him as the voice of Marquette men's basketball for 35 seasons. And, of course, you can check him out. God Talk, My Faith with Homer and Pip. It is Steve the Homer. True Homer, you are our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. The most show I've ever wanted to be on in my life. On the Wilde and Tausch. This is number one. I come into this show more excited than I ever have been for any substitute appearance on Wilde and Tausch. And I'll bet you know why.
I don't know why. I have no idea why.
Because there's no one in the world that I would want to talk to today more than you, because you can find out.
Find out what?
If Aaron Rodgers is married.
Oh,
he had a wedding ring on at the Kentucky Derby.
I forgot about that.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
What do you mean, jeez?
A lot's happened
since Saturday.
I care about
him as a person. Plus, I've never seen a picture of his wife.
Yeah,
Maybe wife.
Look, I know Aaron Rodgers. The only place he goes to all year where people see him is the Kentucky Derby. Fine, he could be married. He doesn't have to wear the ring. He wears the ring for a purpose. Because he wants people to know he's married. Now, maybe she didn't want to wear a ring. She didn't want to wear a ring. But, hey, we're married. We can't hide it forever. Why else would he wear a ring?
Yeah, I understand.
And you can find out.
Oh, boy. This is how today's going to go.
That's all the show is. We can move on to other stuff, but before the show's over at noon, I expect to hear from you that you can confirm that Aaron Rodgers is married.
Okay. Jesse, I'm going to let you run the show today. You and Homer can spend
quality
time.
You can choose not to do it. You're Jason Wilde.
Yeah,
That's the hope and the dream that I have. As someone said at the governor's prayer breakfast, I never doubted that God would move that mountain in front of me.
Oh.
I do not doubt for a moment that that mountain, you finding out from Aaron Rodgers, will be moved.
You were at the governor's prayer breakfast?
Yeah, the only person who doesn't come is the governor. I haven't figured that out. I don't know why.
Well, what about that guy that's decided he's going to both be president and pope? Was he there or did he not come?
He's not governor.
Okay, just checking.
But he did not come.
I will see if we have any confirmation. It is amazing.
By the way, the best story ever told at the governor's prayer breakfast. I never ever thought I would steal material. A minister gets up and he goes.
You steal material all the time. Come on.
Not from the governor's prayer breakfast. There's never been a good story there ever told. That's not the concept.
Okay, that's fair.
So the minister gets up and he goes, man. People just don't know how tough this job. He says, a kid comes up to me and he says, minister, can you help my hearing? You got to help me with my hearing. So he says, I stop whatever I'm doing. I get next to him, put my hands up in the air. God, step in here. Take care of his hearing. Okay, kid walks away. 2 days later, I see the kid. I come up to him and said, hey, how's your hearing? He goes, that's not for a couple of weeks.
Not bad.
I know. At the governor's prayer breakfast, a minister telling a line, and I've heard every joke there is, and I had never heard that one before. Had you heard it before?
I had not. I had not. The joke, that's a good one.
It is.
There were no jokes this morning at the prayer breakfast?
No, this was last Thursday.
Wait. It wasn't today? You made it sound like you came straight from the prayer breakfast.
No, it was last
to the show.
Last
That's
Thursday.
Why you sat down at 9:01.
Yeah, and I used it at another event on Saturday, but they laughed much better than you did. You didn't, because I can see you were. But that's okay.
Was it an event for like defense lawyers?
No, it was just another charity event. The lady in Haiti, the goat.
Oh,
the importance
of
goats. Do you know what I've discovered? We've debated all these things about goats. Like, a goat used to be a guy who screwed up. Now it's the greatest of all time.
Yes, indeed.
A goat is the goat. Like, for people in massive portions of the world, the most important thing you can get them is a goat. I still don't understand how a goat can be that important. But
yeah, I would still like to buy a goat for someone. So
yeah, you can.
You never sent me
so
the
John
information.
So John Anderson already did.
I know he did.
Because he had a goat. In honor of a goat, I said to the lady in charge, if we can just get the goat, Michael Jordan, to support you, no, we won't need goats anymore.
It's interesting. It's interesting that the GOAT of Wisconsin Sports Talk Radio is involved with a charity that believes in getting people in Haiti goats.
Nicely done.
Should have
seen
that
one coming.
And the
weird thing about those real goats is more and more of them are demanded each year, unlike this goat you speak of, less and less is demanded. When the lady in charge, Katie, says, we used to need 1,000 goats, now we need 250 goats, then it will be Homer's Goat Project. Mm.
Okay, so they're at a point now where they have reached.
No,
they need more and more goats
wants a goat.
Until there's a goat in every
now
family.
The other communities find out that goats are available. They want goats. I didn't ask her how many you could actually use in Haiti, but I'm guessing it's got to be like 100,000 goats if they could get. And the other thing you need to know is, you know what's a great job?
Hosting this show.
No, you get like 50 female goats. You only need like 2 male goats to keep them all busy and get a lot more goats.
Whoa, Nelly!
I got to check. The greatest life in the world was not Secretariat. It's a male goat.
Well, he doesn't have to risk his life running the Kentucky Derby and then breaking his leg and being euthanized. So, yeah, you're right. A lot less risk for the goat. And see how I tied together Aaron Rodgers' wedding ring and the goat story with the Kentucky Derby there? That's professional radio work right there.
That is professional radio.
Okay, so as much as I would love to devote the next 2 hours and 49 minutes to the search for Aaron Rodgers' marital status.
No, I don't want to spend that time. I'm asking you to do what you can do and take 2 seconds at some point in the show. That's all. There's no need to discuss it. It's just you can find out if it's true, and at some point, maybe at the end of the show, say, Homer, he is married. You don't even have to say your source. You don't have to say anything.
Okay.
I will stand by whatever you say.
Okay. Well, is it on brand for him before we move forward? And I will try and discern this information. Because to be honest, I am curious.
I'd be happy for him.
Could it be any more on brand than there to be subterfuge and intrigue as to whether he's in fact married?
No, this is totally on brand.
Yes,
in
that's
classic
what I'm saying.
Aaron Rodgers brand,
yes,
and he'll go,
exactly.
Oh, why would everybody want to know? I try to stay out of the limelight. You can't put up that crap and get away with it. Only with the punter. He won't call you on it. Come on.
It's true. Yes. Well, I did see that on Saturday. I did not watch the Kentucky Derby. I don't like horse racing, so I did. But I did see the news on social media that he was wearing.
What is wrong with him? I would say this to him: you want to announce your marriage, or just do it normally, or do whatever, and don't wear the damn ring until you clearly like things being in private. Fine. Don't wear the damn ring, or don't wear any ring.
Again, back in 2011 or 12 when we were doing the show and he went to Jordan's game at Vanderbilt and his then girlfriend, Destiny Newton.
They were engaged at one point, too, I believe.
Was wearing an engagement ring. Yes.
So he's been engaged twice prior to this.
Yes, because he announced his engagement to Shailene Woodley while he was accepting
now,
his...
Now, we don't know that he's been engaged a third. Sometimes you get married and you don't even get engaged, right? There's no guarantee. You don't have to get engaged, right?
Not only that, we don't... Like, her name is like Brittany or something, I think. I think he mentioned it while he was...
Yeah.
In passing, while he was talking about that and his dog Apollo at some point. But yeah, I don't... Again... I have corresponded with him within the last couple of weeks. I never asked, hey, are you getting married?
Again,
he gets to live his life however he chooses. For me, you know, getting married was a really big deal, and I wanted all the people that I care about to share in it, and it was fun, and I couldn't stop talking about it because I was so excited about it. He doesn't operate that way. So we will see if we can discern that information for you to satisfy your curiosity. I do find it humorous that page 6 in the the New York Post. Is that what has page six? Jen Latta sent me this. Aaron Rodgers sparks marriage rumors by wearing a ring on that finger at Kentucky Derby 2025 event.
Perfectly stated. Perfectly stated.
Because you don't really know. And he didn't, you know.
That's stated. He created this on purpose. Why? I quit trying to figure that stuff out since I haven't had a direct confrontation with him in a long time. Because that would be my one question. And what the hell? What's wrong? What happened? Well,
from the Carbless Talk and Text line, I thought Homer never cares about anything Aaron Rodgers except how it pertains to the Packers.
That is a fair, hold on, that's a fair statement. But I've also stated many times I like him. I'll always be grateful for the generosity he helped create. And so this would be the exception, yes. Am I being inconsistent? Yes, because it makes me think he might be happy. I hope he's found someone as crazy as he is and they, you know, interact, have kids. What would be better than Aaron Rodgers having kids? Oh, yeah. I could see like eight. He's having eight kids. Oh, man. So is this discussion inconsistent with my general concern about Aaron Rodgers? Yes. This has nothing to do with football. If anybody else here, if Pebble, for example, was getting married or it appeared that he was, then I would talk about that.
If you had no idea he was getting married and then he showed up at an event with a wedding ring on his ring finger.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm glad. I appreciate that you would be this interested in anyone else. There's no way you'd be as interested in that as you would be in this Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I would spend as much time on my show. Yeah, but I don't know that he would.
You don't have that much time on your show.
True. Killed. Just
but we got plenty of time here.
I don't want to spend. I don't have to spend any more time on it. I just said I would just appreciate before the show was over that you would get an answer. We can never spend another second about it right now.
I think the world would appreciate that. Actually, it's not just.
I disagree. And I refuse to believe that people don't care about him as a person. Either like him or hate him, but I think you care about him. Marriage is a big deal. Jason just said it.
It is. Just ask Nancy True. How many years has she been tolerating you?
44. She was in a slump. She will never admit it. But I know this because the person that introduced this, I grew up with as a friend. And so I got lucky. That's all right. Good. More power to it.
Indeed.
Packers got lucky with Aaron Rodgers and Brett, not with Brett Favre, but Aaron Rodgers. And I got lucky with her. Good. Good for me. I deserve him.
Giannis posted a photo to social media. We're hoping that he makes a long-term commitment to the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't want to do this every time one of these things crops up.
Why not?
Why not? Because I don't want to do this.
That's legitimate. It's not made-up stuff. It's legitimate.
Says the man who replied to my sending him the photo with, "And your points?"
I'm guilty. I didn't know that was new. I thought that was like from 6 months ago.
It was yesterday.
Okay, well then I stand corrected. If yesterday.
All right, well, we will get
very well.
What was he doing wearing that?
Yeah, where? I thought he was in New York or what? I thought that looked like he was on a basketball court or something.
I think it's a photo from the playoff run. Those were the T-shirts that they were wearing. He posted that. You can examine that during the break.
No, I'll take your word for it. I don't have to. Whatever you tell me.
It's
good.
Take another look at it and see
Thanks
what you
for
think of it.
Up.
I will reach out. Now here's the other problem. Like, am I asking as his friend who's curious if he got married? Do I have clearance to announce that on the radio? There's all kinds of. I don't know if I'm going to be able to say this publicly. Let me see what I can do.
I'll accept whatever you.
I just want him to be happy.
Whatever comes. What?
I just want him to be happy. That's all I want.
Actually, I want to interview her. That's what I want to do.
Well, you can do that on your show.
What is the deal here? Tell me how he convinced you. He's crazy. You're going to spend your rest of your life with that?
Takes one to know one is all I would say to you. More Wildy and Tausch with Steve the Homer True.
Great point. She was in a slump. Ah, now I got it. You're right. Good answer.
Steve, the Homer True is our cousin sub of the day. Buckle up, Buttercup. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Love is a blaze, I saw flames from the side of the stage. And the fire brigade comes in a couple of days. Until then, we got nothing to say and nothing to know, but something to drink and maybe something to smoke.
This is turning out to be a very, very wildly popular topic in the YouTube comments, from what I can tell. We will get to the Packers rookie camp momentarily, probably in the next segment. But Homer, I saw ESPN Milwaukee on Twitter posted a copy of this photo saying, our guy, hashtag fear the deer. Now, if you have not seen this, it is from Giannis's official Instagram. It is him with his hands behind his back, head bowed, wearing the T-shirt over his jersey during pregame introductions that says win for Cream City. I think all the NBA teams have Nike shirts with various statements for their towns. All it does is has the like thank you or praying emoji and then the salute emoji. So of course people with the Rorschach test that is this posting, if you think he's leaving, well, then you think that this is him starting the process of bidding goodbye. Thank you for your service. Or if you think he's staying, you're taking that and interpreting it as, oh, see, he loves it here. He wants to stay. This is why I don't want to do this for the next X number of months. Are you going to keep doing this on your program? Are you going to spend time interpreting every little thing that happens?
No, I'm not going to interpret anything. I'm just going to present it as it occurs. Everybody can interpret it how they want. I've stated, and I did this year, and I still feel the same. People have to understand the legitimacy of the possibility. I hope he's Mother Teresa and decides to stay. Anybody looking at it objectively would say, go somewhere else. But he's nice enough that he may want to stay. So all you do is report what's out there and let people decide who they want. And if they want to be mad and they think you're being negative, I'm very proud of my advice to people this past season to go see him play as much as possible. And I'll feel that way even if he does come back, and I'll say the same thing for this year. And if it goes on for a few years, then I will have to admit I was wrong. And but I don't know how that harms anybody, telling them to go watch Giannis more than they do.
But that does not harm anybody. It's what is coming up next in the weeks to come that I will find to be exhausting. And I do not want to participate in that on this show.
You need to make it not exhausting. You can't. You
well,
have
how
to,
do you not? You got easy. Everybody, everyone easy. In the national media is talking about
correct.
It. When they should be spending time talking about the games that are being played, often on their own networks, and instead they're talking about what's Giannis going to do next.
They discuss the other stuff too.
They do.
We did Aaron Rodgers for like 4 years in a row during the summer every day.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy that either. But I just, the idea of trying to guess what one person, it's like having sportsbook odds on his next team, whether it's the Bucks or one of the other 29 teams.
Ooh, what are the odds? I haven't seen those.
So I don't know.
I'll check. I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah, you work on that. My point is that the only person who knows what he wants to do is him. And so
correct.
The rest of us
and he may
are
not
all
know,
in the
and
dark.
That, he can
right.
change.
Exactly.
Yes.
He might not know.
Right.
So this
the
is
only thing
be
that would surprise me and that I would vote is if the Bucks said they wanted to move him. That would be the most surprising thing for me.
I cannot, and I don't like to speak in absolutes the way you do.
Ooh, this is good. A Jason Wilde absolute. All right.
I cannot at any level imagine why on earth they would be the ones who would want to move on.
I can answer that.
Because as I saw from this preposterous trade suggestion that The Athletic put out on social media, and my Bucks buddy Justin Garcia helped me work through it, there is no package that is actually going to pay commensurate value for Giannis. There is,
like, correct.
You're gonna trade for Zion Williamson?
No,
I mean, I've been disappointed.
It's about getting the best that you can
the
get.
The best bad deal.
What you're trying to get. You should call it, yes. Now you're getting involved. You don't have to say best deal. You say, and the sooner you do, the chances you're going to get is now versus because he's a year younger. That's logic that every. Now, things could change with a team where something's not. That in a year might be available. I guess it's always possible. Could be better in that, even though he's older. So.
Yeah, Homer's connection's cutting in and out with us here, which I think is a studio issue here.
What I was going to ask, is that him or me?
Nah, I think that's a studio issue. There have been some issues here this morning.
It appears he's still talking.
Let's see if we can hear him now. Homer, are you there?
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right, that's a little better.
I would have left. I just got a call from T-Buck, and I couldn't answer.
Ask him if he's married.
Well, he's married. He's got a daughter that just graduated from Notre Dame in astrophysics.
Yes, I understand. Oh, that sounds like a perfect segue to get to the rookie camp.
Sure.
And the conversations that we had with
the rookies.
They don't
even do anything at the rookie camp, right?
It's true.
The rookie camp is now a media event.
We can discuss that. I do want to ask Jesse before we move off of Giannis, are you going to follow this along? Are you going to get up or down based on Instagram posts? Are you going to pay attention to this? Are you going to worry about it? Or are you going to just go about your life?
I will be following along with it. It's going to be the biggest, like it's, this marks whether it's the end or the continuation of the greatest era of Milwaukee Bucks basketball ever.
That's not true.
Well, for many of us.
Young.
For many of us.
Wrong. You're going to say say something else that's wrong?
I'm in my mid-30s.
Why don't you just say the Old Testament never existed because you weren't around and it's all just made up.
Like that 1941 Wisconsin championship team.
Correct.
The last 7 years consistently finishing top three in the Eastern Conference and having a legitimate chance to win the NBA Finals every year, that's not the glory, the golden age of Bucks basketball?
No. Go back and look when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor was on the team.
Well, besides that.
Okay, I'll accept that. Yeah,
the revitalization of the Milwaukee Bucks franchise
in the last 50 years or so. Yeah, all right. You can Don Hudson
a franchise that when I was a kid growing up, and we were lucky if the Bucks were going to be the 8th seed in the postseason, and we thought the franchise would probably move out of Milwaukee at some point in my life. To now have the Deer District and a fan base that loves the team and is there at every regular season game, packed in energy around the state. It's been a true revitalization of the franchise because of Giannis. And if he chooses to leave and to move on, or if the Bucks choose to move on from him, either way, that's going to be a massive story, and it will be the end of one of the most significant eras of Wisconsin sports fandom.
I'll buy that. I'm in that club. Nicely done. A nice redo.
Thanks, Homer. Also, the Toronto Raptors, apparently, according to, I think this is DraftKings, is the favorite to land Giannis at plus 800. Golden State's in there.
I would say this for Jason. Don't take anything too seriously.
The Rockets and Spurs are also in there. Golden State is the favorite. Golden State is the favorite. I had to reread here. This article, for whatever reason, is based around the Toronto Raptors, even though they're like the last team. Golden State is the favorite. followed by the Rockets, the Spurs, and Toronto's plus 5,000.
The Athletic trade was a three-team trade, which you know Tausch was big on, except it did not include moving an injured Damian Lillard along with Giannis. But it ends up with Giannis in San Antonio with Wemby, which would be quite the power pairing. But again, I don't want to do this. We've covered it now. We covered the picture. Let's move on.
Would you rather talk about Giannis' speculation of where he's going to play or Aaron Rodgers getting married?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. We're 34 minutes into the program, and both topics that we've discussed, I know I brought it up because I felt compelled to do so on the Giannis photo.
I vote Giannis over Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know.
You could not have gotten enough of the, he got married, maybe he's weird, this is typical Aaron that we don't know
if he actually got married.
All
I need
totally
is a response
that.
From for I know, but I'm done now. It's over. I don't need another second on it, but it's your show. I'm just filling in.
Yeah, well, you've never been more excited to fill in on a show, from what I was told
that
at the beginning
correct.
Of the program. We're going to shift gears to the media event that was the rookie camp that the Packers held. They had a practice on Saturday, if you could call it that. I will explain next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app, customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
Steve the Homer Drew is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better, and I couldn't be happier. Thankful to have you in. The GOAT of Wisconsin Sports Talk Radio. The Packers had their rookie minicamp, and maybe many of you tuned in to hear about that. Well, now's the time to do it. Now, I will admit, Homer, you think Matt LaFleur's soft, right?
He considers intelligence more important than toughness for a good football team. That's
so
the better way to put it.
So he told us on Friday. The players got in Thursday. They went through meetings. They did a bunch of
just so you know,
stuff.
I don't care what he says. I care what he does.
Okay.
The team that goes out on the field and how
this,
they play.
This does connect okay. to what he did.
I won't interrupt again. Go ahead.
I find that hard to believe. But hey, I'm used to it on the show. So he said on Friday that his approach to the rookie camp has evolved. He's now in his seventh year as the head coach, and the first time, and you know, he did it differently than Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy viewed this, and he's kind of basically taken a page out of Mike McCarthy's book now. But Mike McCarthy saw this as basically orientation when you go off to college. I think UW Madison calls it SOAR.
I went
summer
to that.
Orientation and registration. So Mike McCarthy wanted them to know, hey, all right, here's how I get to the cafeteria. And, you know, here are the guys that are in the athletic training room that are going to tape my ankles. And here's the equipment staff. And here's the type of shoe I need, all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, day of school type stuff. And then they did some practices, and there were 11-on-11 periods. There were 1-on-1 periods. I mean, he did actually practice though. Matt LaFleur, when he came in, his practices were basically a regular practice, but just with rookies and tryout players and a handful of holdovers that were eligible to take part in the practices. Well, he told the story of having trash cans out and that there were guys that were vomiting into them. And he has now evolved it to, because he believes that the process of getting ready for and going through the draft process is taxing on these guys. He brought up Anthony Belton, their second-round pick, who went on 14 pre-draft visits to teams.
Sorry to interrupt, but he's proving he's soft again. Go ahead.
I know. That's why I set the stage the way I did. Also, congratulations on proving me right on you interrupting.
You set that up just to do that, knowing that I would do exactly what I did. Plead guilty to that at least.
Yes, absolutely. Right. I knew that. Okay. I set it up the way I did. I predicted an interruption the way it occurred. Yes.
I apologize to the audience. Go ahead, Jason.
I've been familiar with your work for a while now, since Night Night with Uncle Homie. So he changed it. And on Saturday, and I was there for the entirety of the practice, basically it was all drills. Like Taylor Elgersma, whose name I haven't figured out how to pronounce yet. He's Canadian. He was the one quarterback there because they had him in for a tryout. He's going to the Bills to try out. I wrote about him today on channel3000.com. He's got he does sling it. He's got a strong arm. He's a big dude. 6'5", 227, played college football in Canada, won their version of the Heisman Trophy. But during the course of this one practice, he didn't throw a single ball to Matthew Golden or Savion Williams or Jack Studer, the UW lacrosse tryout guy that was there. He threw it to coaches and Nets. They really did very little or nothing in terms of any sort of stuff you would see in a normal practice. It was just drill work. So, again, Matt LaFleur's theory is these guys grind to such a degree getting ready to be drafted that they're not in tip-top condition by the time they come for the rookie camp, so he didn't want to overtax them. And the minute he said it, I thought of you because I knew you were going to be like, well, this is soft. I understand his logic behind it. I would think that they are elite level athletes enough that you could do a little more than what we saw on Saturday, but they will be back now next week when phase two of the offseason program continues, and they'll be on the field with the veterans, and at least they know where the cafeteria is. But this is exactly what I expected, because I got it from a lot of other folks after they read my story on channel3000.com. This is soft, and you are of that belief as well. Right?
I am. My emphasis to him, if I talk to him, would be I respect the belief that kids are different or athletes are different, all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But so I'm going to find out in that first camp somehow where each of them are based on having some tough demands in some way. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to want to have a player based on that. But this gives me a great opportunity to know where they start from in all these areas that you worry about kids now because of all the things he said. Like, I want to know, given all that he stated, being accurate, which kid hasn't been changed at all, that is every bit the same as the player he remembers 10 years ago under different environments. There's also one more important thing to add that I don't know that he did, is that they've been paid. So they come in now as professionals. They're not coming in as people who've never been paid or don't understand those aspects of life. They've already started that. I would think that that might be an area that he would bring up. Probably they don't want to talk about it. But that, I believe, is another factor.
Well, I think both Matt LaFleur and Goody extensively talked about this heading into the draft and coming out of it, that it is a different world. It's one of the reasons why he talks so much about we want guys who love football, which seems like such a, well, duh, of course they love football. They're going to play in the NFL. Well, no, a lot of them, more than there ever has been before, it is a means to an end. Which, again, I'm not here to begrudge people that are talented enough to go play in the NFL. If they don't love football, but they want to make some money and then get out of the game with their, you know, brains intact and whatever else, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. But the mentality about football players has always been you have to eat, sleep, live, breathe football. And they want guys that are all about ball. Well, not every, and guys that aren't in a place emotionally or mentally to think that they are entitled, right? I mean, that was the knock on how Shedeur Sanders handled his interviews and why one of the reasons why he fell the way he did. Well, there's lots of guys that have made, you know, I think Matthew Golden made $250,000 in his, according to reports, in his transfer from Houston to Texas in NIL money. So I don't know. Does that change Matthew Golden's motivation? I don't know Matthew Golden at this point. I've spoken to him twice. But I do think that that is part of the calculus now for scouting is, hey, how's this guy going to come into our team after making a couple $1 million in college, being one of those guys for his college program? There's no doubt. Goody talked about it extensively. That is part of their math now. And whether they like a guy or not is how does he come in? How's he going to handle not being told you're the best and we're paying you instead of the other guys at your position because we think you're so great and now you're in the NFL and they're not going to treat you that way anymore? So to that point, I think you're 100% right, Homer.
And they can't know. They haven't had enough kids go through it to know what's
precisely
the norm, what's not the norm. This concept of, Do they really want to play football? I'd like some definition of what that means. Because it sounds good. Do you really want to play? What does that mean?
Well, here's what I would argue. That there are lots of us in the world who have everyday jobs.
Right.
Now, for me, having grown up reading the Milwaukee Sentinel and the Milwaukee Journal every day and getting Sports Illustrated in fourth grade, I wanted to be a sports writer from age 9. And I am one of those rare people
really?
That got to do that. Yeah.
At age 9?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Not everyone is as lucky as I am that I got to do what I wanted to do. And then it obviously morphed into doing TV and radio and everything else. And by the way, Chris Roth, sports director at WBAY-TV here in Green Bay, I believe is going to be the next news anchor for Channel 2 now. So I'm excited for him.
Well, because they hired a new sports guy, and I thought he must be leaving. But then I realized he had already shifted into news.
He's already been doing the 4:30 news. Yes.
Right.
So
was he doing sports while he was doing the 4:30 or not?
He was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, okay. So now he's moving.
Showing
up.
His versatility. The more.
Yeah,
you can
I
do.
Have a great effect on people like that. Mark Johnson, who I worked with at Channel 12, went to Boise and became that number one news guy. I wonder how much credit I can take for both of these people that I worked with have now gone.
You could take as much credit as you want. How much you deserve is another question entirely.
The Elton Jenkins of the newscast.
But Chris Roth obviously was the one who recommended me to you to start doing with you.
Yes.
And so I am indebted to him. And he, like Bill Jarts, like my friend Eric Franke at Channel 3 in Madison, was the sports director, slid over into the anchor chair. But anyway, Chris Roth got me into the radio part. Then I got into the TV part as well. Or I'd gotten into the TV with him. We've got that picture of me looking like Britney Spears in Oakland. The bottom line is that I get to do what I love. Like, I probably didn't need to write a story last night, but I wrote one anyway because I love doing this. I am extremely fortunate, and I get it. I am fully aware of it. I don't take this job for granted.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What if you used to write 4 stories and then they told you you only need to write one?
I would make that one story the best I could possibly make.
You wouldn't go looking for other stories elsewhere so you get back up to 4?
Well, not if I was 73 years old or however old you are now.
All right, now back to you. Sorry.
Just random question.
Yeah, random.
Completely. No connection whatsoever.
No connection whatsoever, just random. I didn't interrupt much, so go back.
So my point is that it's not a question for me about how much I love my job, right? And I'm, as I have said many times, incredibly grateful that ISC TV3 in Madison, after the State Journal decided to stop covering the Packers, I had a place to continue to write. And they have been amazing to me. And they think it's a big deal that I work there, which is a little crazy to think about. My point is, I wanted to keep doing this. I wasn't sure how I was going to. It's going to like start a Substack or something. Not everyone has a job where they get to feel that way. And I don't think NFL players are any different. And this was a long way to get to that point. But there's plenty of guys that are just like, hey, man, this is a great way to make a living for a while. And I like the game, but I don't love the game. And if I could do something else, I might. So I don't know how, the problem, Homer, is I don't know how you, how do they tell? That was my point to Goody. Well, how do you know? Well, he just sort of knows.
Well, my answer to Goody would be, I don't spend too much time worrying about why they don't do what I want them to do. Because their car has a flat. Because they don't really love football. Whatever the reason is, doesn't matter. It's all based on performance. And that's why the focus on this I don't get, because it's almost like, well, we can figure it out. Or what? I'm more confused. I don't get it at so many levels, and that's one. I don't care why you don't get the job done. You're not getting it done.
Right, but what I think what they're saying is they don't want they have the opportunity to pick and choose right. Who they have working for yeah. them.
And I don't think they have this down that well.
Oh, I doubt they do. I'm sure they're
missing. And I think if a player is really talented, they'll take a chance on whether he's playing for fishermen in Nigeria or whatever. They don't. How well does he play? Goats in Haiti, yes. And if it,
you seem exasperated by this.
I am exasperated by what the hell? What is this? This seems more bizarre to me than the other topics we've had.
Well, what do you
like what?
What do you mean by that?
Well, like, is this something new where all these guys 5 years ago you would have drafted and wanted, and now you don't because you wonder whether they want to play? I mean, that this is not whether you want to play. This is, for the first time, we have players coming in who've made money. Is
yes.
it possible they'll be different because now they've made this kind of money, and that's all the money they ever wanted to make? This has nothing to do about wanting to play football. And then my answer is, then you need to teach them. You need to get an accountant in there to tell them you ain't made enough for the rest of your life. They need to do that in college now. So I just think that's what we're, this is a ruse for, hey, these kids are richer than they've ever been before. And is that going to have any effect on their abilities in NFL? It's nothing about loving football. I think this is money, money, money. Well, tell us that and say, we don't know how the kids are going to react. Then you can interview the players and go on, well, we don't know how much you made. You can tell us if you want. Do you need any more?
So I do think that this is a more prevalent, I don't want to say issue, but concern than we want to let on. I saw the GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Jesse, maybe you can find this somewhere. I don't even know if we can play it because he calls these guys some different names that are borderline being able to use on a radio. But basically, he made the same point to Pat McAfee, Jason Light, that we try to weed out all the guys that don't love football, the guys that are douchebags was one of the words he used.
That's always been the case.
Right, but I don't think it's been as much. I mean, look, I've covered the 96 Packers. You used to do Pack Attack at what place was that at where they were?
We did it at Brett Favre's, then we did it on Water Street. I can't remember the name of the place.
So
at Brett Favre's.
So, but on that team, they definitely had some sketchy characters. Like, they didn't just only draft choir boys, right? And I do think
yes.
that they and look, as the late great Denny Tauscher taught Tausch at a very young age, talent outs. And so if you're talented, you get away with more. You just do. And you put up with more from talented people. But this strikes me as something that they legitimately are putting more effort into because they don't know what kind of entitled money in their pocket kids they're getting. And I do think whether that's imagined or not, Homer, they believe that that is an issue at the NFL level. And they're trying to spend more effort into figuring that out about these guys. That, I think, is the case.
All right.
We will. I want to get some more of the things that came out of the rookie camp, which was a media event. But we did get an opportunity to talk to the players, which was something I enjoyed. We'll talk a little bit about what they had to say coming up. Just like a great team needs great protection, that's why the Packers drafted two offensive linemen, American Family Insurance knows your family needs it too. That's why they make life better by protecting your dreams with the right home and auto policies. So insure carefully, dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating companies, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. More with Steve the Homer True as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
I just want to put a bow on this topic before we get to the 10 o'clock hour. Jesse has tracked down the audio to which I was referring, which I found very interesting. So Jason Light is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers GM. He's the one who brought in Tom Brady, and they won their Super Bowl. This is him on the Pat McAfee show talking about their approach to vetting their prospects for the draft.
5 years ago, we weren't having the success I wanted in the drafts. Kind of had a powwow, got together, just all of us, the whole staff, talking about what are the picks that have made it? What are the picks in the history of the Bucs and that have made it and were big-time players? And, you know, it was the person. We're never rarely missing on the player. We're missing on the person. And what are these qualities of a person that made them successful? And we came up with it. We came up with a little slogan. John Spytek was a part of this, too. It was called I Am That Man. It's a quality that we're looking for, and it's really not that hard. You know, we put the players that are worthy of being drafted on the draft board like every team does, but then we just kind of take the assholes and the d-bags off and guys that don't love football and guys that have proven that they don't like it, they're difficult to deal with, and we just kind of mitigate our risk. We're taking great players that are great humans.
Homer, what do you make of that? More colorful than the way Goody put it, I could say that.
Yeah, but I don't.
You seem skeptical.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, what?
I want to know what's really going on. This is just.
Well, what do you mean?
I don't. What do you think? Well, I mean, you followed this as long as I have.
I think there are. I think that there is a menta. And again, to those that would say that this generation, and I am part of the parents that now I think. That the conversations I have with the girls about overcoming adversity and stuff, I shield them from a lot, but it's not from disappointment and failure and adversity, because I think that's one of the great things that come out of sports.
And you observe all of it, every second.
No, I mean, sometimes you have to divide and conquer. Like today, Sydney's got a golf match and a soccer practice, and Maddie's got a track meet. So one of us has to go to one, and one of us has to go to the other, even though I'd like to be at all of it, of course. But I do, look, I firmly believe that the lessons you learn playing sports, I wish I would have played more extensively, are valuable, and they help make you who you are. I firmly believe that. And so, like, when Giannis a couple of years ago replied to Eric Name with that, there is no such thing as failure, it's one of the rare times I disagreed with him. There is definitely failure. What do you do about it? What do you do with that experience is what matters. But there is failure. I understand that maybe we take a different approach with kids than Bear Bryant did, and not even giving him water during practice. At the same time, I do think that while there are some exceptions, the guys that are first-class a-holes in your locker room and are bad teammates and are talented but aren't great for your team chemistry, maybe they don't do as much good just because they're good players. So I don't know how you – the problem with this is you cannot measure it. You cannot – do it based on film. You cannot do it based on test results. So it feels to me like more art than science. And you know, scouts don't necessarily do that very well. So I don't know how good the Buccaneers or the Packers or any of the other 30 teams in the league do. And there are still going to be guys that you're like, hey, this guy's too good. I don't care if he's a jerk. We're going to pick him anyway. So it certainly is a sliding scale.
But you have experienced all these players and seen many that fit in all the different areas that you talked about. And so you can be a judge of, have you seen more of those? You don't have to listen anything to the coaches because you've watched players and watched the ones that have come through. And so are they different? What's going on?
I can't do a great job of justifying this because I have also covered a team for the last couple of years that is unlike any other team I've covered. Like during the first 26 years of covering or 27 years of covering the NFL, like there was never a team that was so young as these guys. Like even when
So now they're very young. What have you noticed about the team that's different because they're so young?
Right. What I'm saying is that they are. So there are so many young guys that it's not like they have like influences of veteran players that are showing them how to do it. So they're like, for example, Christian Watson, who has won our Tom Mulhern Award for stand-up guy. Like he is different than other guys I've covered. Like the guy talked when he was injured. Like nobody does that. Like
Aaron,
it's almost
Donald
like they
Driver
don't know,
used to talk all the time. He never shut up. Right?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. It's just, they are different.
All right.
And maybe I'm different too because I'm older. But
No, you're exactly the same as I remember you when you first came. You haven't changed a bit. Not a bit. And we're all better for that.
Thanks, I think. All right. I don't have a great answer for you on that. I will continue.
See, like, I would have thought over time you would shorten your questions, but you haven't.
They've gotten longer.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. They were long from the very beginning.
Are you guys done?
No, we're not done because it's great how you do it. And I'm glad you've never changed. I'm sure people have said, Jason, shorten your questions. And privately you've thought, no, I ask them exactly the way I want to ask them. And there's a reason I do it the way I do it. And I'm not changing. How accurate that is that part of it?
It is 1,000% accurate.
That's
yes,
right.
It is. It's also
and
accurate.
I speak for people in the business or as a consumer. I'm glad you've never changed and don't ever change because it's what you get out, not how you do it.
I bet there are a lot of college professors who are very upset with your style of asking questions.
I don't know. I was invited to come back and speak at the J School at UW-Madison. I'm not going to make it there before they're out of classes, though, so I have to do it in the fall.
If they say that, they're a bad professor, but.
I'm not here to judge professors, although I am here to say that James Hoyt, my favorite professor at the J School, who listens every day, although he might not be listening since Tausch isn't on today, because I think Tausch is his favorite, even ahead of me, is the GOAT. He's the Homer of my professors, the greatest of all time. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch with Homer as our cousin sub of the day starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.